Hello and welcome to Simply Walk the Talk.
Making sense of the health and fitness world, one conversation at a time.
My name is Josh Holland.
And I'm Grace Nuttall.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back.
Hey, how are you?
Well, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. It's a lovely sunny day. Looking forward to going out and exploring the city, but just more excited and pumped to be recording another episode.
I love it. I love it. This is always a breath of fresh air when we get an opportunity to do this, so I'm excited as well. And maybe that leads me right into our gratitude. Maybe we can talk about that.
Yeah. A little bit. We're switching it up these days. Okay, you start us off.
Okay, I'll start us off. I am in Miami, wonderful Miami, staying at the Mandarin Oriental, and it's in this area called Brickell. And the cool thing about this hotel is that it's on a little island. And so I'm really grateful for not only just, you know, this nice hotel and being on this island, but being able to experience different parts of different cities. And this may kind of be a reoccurring gratefulness or gratitude that I keep talking about, but it's kind of the first thing that comes to mind. And so it's at the top of my list of things that I am truly grateful for. And you know, I've been to Miami many times before, but this time I think I'm seeing it in a different light. I've had an opportunity to run around the entire island, and you know, it's super hot and humid right now, but I'm just kind of embracing that and using the outdoors as a natural infrared sauna. So there you go.
Lovely. I think if I stepped foot in Miami, I would burn into a crisp. Like, my pale Irish skin would not be happy. So like, I can't even imagine you running outside. That's impressive.
Well, I have a little more hue to my skin, a little more pigment than you do, so it's, you know, it's okay.
I guess what I'm grateful for this week is I've got some nice old friends here in the city, so I got to hang out with a couple of them last night and catch up. So I'm just really grateful to have some good people to hang out with, and yeah, it was really nice.
Cool.
So with that all said, let's get into today's topic.
All right. So today's topic, we discussed, we want to do a little bit more for the trainers out there and the fitness enthusiasts. So it's just kind of for everyone, of course. But it's going to be around virtual training and sort of, I guess, the ins and outs of virtual training. And for those who don't know what virtual training is, or what we're classifying as virtual training, is basically when you work with a trainer remotely, and maybe he or she sends you a program or videos or the combination of the two. And so I think we should just dive in a little bit about it, you know, why, you know, the benefits of it, the disadvantages of it, the advantages, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's such a prevalent form of training these days, particularly again with the advent of Instagram and, you know, there being a huge wave of trainers online. Particularly, I think, like celebrity trainers, or, you know, trainers who are celebrities themselves, and they all have the kind of fitness programs that you can buy into and download apps. So I think it's a really interesting one to demystify, because it certainly seems kind of a bit confusing to me sometimes anyway.
Yeah, and I like, you know, what you just brought up, because your approach to this it's very relevant to hear your feedback, because I've been sort of doing this with you, and mm-hmm. we've kind of started it on a small scale, but we're starting to grow it. And I personally have noticed that since we're on the tour and I have a lot more time, that I've been spending more time doing this. Like, each day that I go and train, I make sure to bring my iPad with me to record my workouts, mm-hmm. so that people can see that I'm actually walking the talk. And so instead of me being the trainer that is sending programs written on a notepad and then, you know, screenshotting it and sending it to my clients, I'm actually recording it, doing every rep, having the clients follow along with me, mm-hmm. and you guys can see me sweat and in pain right alongside you.
Well, I think that probably takes us into one of the first benefits, I think, where people, if you're filming your own workout, then people can maybe see your form. You know, it's a big change to just something being written down. Because if I was given an exercise that I didn't really understand and I, like, you know, I Googled it, I'd get a video. But it's something much more comforting, reassuring, seeing someone who's maybe a bit more familiar doing the exercises with you and for you.
Yeah, you're right. You know, when I was doing some work with Skype and Microsoft, you know, I guess it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I remember and recall working with them to try to explain why it may be good to use Skype or any other form of virtual training with my clients. And I kind of broke it down in certain levels. And at the top end, at the very high end, you know, it's using this video chat, like what we're doing right now to video chat this mm-hmm. this podcast. It's like very high end. It's like, you know, super comforting to know that you can talk with someone and it's very personal, right? But if we go to the low end, if I was to send you, you know, you, Grace, if I were to send you a list, you know, a written paragraph of today's topic, it'd be kind of like, all right, this is a little informal, not so personal. And so in between, we can go from like for instance, I was comparing this to a relationship. Like if you, you know, you have a boyfriend or girlfriend and I send a text, that's one level of personality, right? Mm-hmm. The next level would be to send a photo, like a selfie of me on the beach or whatever. And then maybe another level would be to send a video of me like hanging out, partying with my friends. But then the top end level is to actually take the time to FaceTime or Skype that person. And so the feeling that we get in a relationship or just in regular life can also cross over to training. And so I use that sort of the psychology of that, the sociology of that, to break down the experience I wanted to get from my clients. Mm-hmm. So all that being said, what I figured now is like if I'm working with someone, if I have seen them one-on-one in person, they probably know what it means to do an ice skater or what it means to do a lateral squat step with a jump. They know what that means because they've seen me break it down with them one-on-one. If I haven't worked with them one-on-one, it's a new set of exercises, then I have to use this video platform, like through my YouTube channel, to show them exactly what it is. And then let's say you've done that 3 or 4 times through, then after that, you don't really need that video anymore, unless you just really like to watch me suffer, you know? So anyway, I would like to hear maybe, you know, your thoughts on it, because like, for instance, when I sent you the video series for the leg and butt exercises, what were your thoughts when you saw that? Like, you know, what is your first thoughts?
Just like, wow, this is very helpful. Just being able to properly visualize it. Like, again, I think with my example about one of the benefits, it was just really handy seeing you do the exercise as opposed to it just being written down. And I think people engage with that kind of visual content a lot more than just something that's written down. And I think that being able to go and do reps in time with you, even though like I did the full sets of reps, I didn't just do 10, that kind of just kept me focused and not bored of an exercise. Because I think there's a danger sometimes with some exercise programs that you can just kind of like just bash out the reps kind of half-heartedly and get a bit bored or not focused.
Right.
So I think that was a really nice way to keep things focused.
Well said. Well said. Well, good. I'm happy that you came to that conclusion with that. you know, and so I'll kind of jump into something else that I try to do with my clients with this platform is I use this as a way to also stay connected with my clients while I'm away, while I'm on the road. And, you know, it feels good for me to, you know, do a workout for myself because once again, I'm walking the talk and it's actually making me more accountable while I'm doing every rep because I know that if I'm slacking off on a few reps, it's on camera and I'm gonna be sending it to the public, right? To my clients and then eventually to the public of YouTube. And the people are harsh, you know, people are gonna be criticizing and especially if I'm sending this as like a how-to, then, you know, it helps me to stay accountable, all that being said. And so that's been a kind of a pleasure to experience on the road. But then also, what I try to do is I try to specify each of these workouts for certain people. I'm not just sending videos. Like, for instance, I'm not going to be sending you, there's an exercise video that I just did a couple days ago called Tyson Renegade. And this one is more for guys or people that want to build their chest and their shoulders. And it's a very tough program. Notice I didn't send that to you. Not because, you know, you're not capable of doing it, but we've talked and I kind of understand what you want. And so this is the other difference between having a trainer who really cares about the programming, because I'm gonna send different videos to different people based on their needs and their goals.
Yeah. Like, just because you're far away doesn't mean that the people you're training get that something that's not relevant to them.
Bingo.
They're still getting the same benefit as if you were there in the room.
Right. Anyway. Exactly. And also to that point, I mean, that's very, very true. And the thing that I also do is I'm sending these out for free, you know, because this is what it means for me to actually have people, because I know that all my clients could just go to YouTube and just search exercises, but you know, maybe this is not going to be good for them. So it's like, okay, if I know that I have the ability to send them something and they actually do it, you know, and they give me good feedback, then it makes me feel so good. You know, I can kind of just check that off the list for that week. So for those of you out there who maybe have considered, or, you know, were on the fence on the idea of getting a trainer with a virtual program, I would obviously say look more into it, maybe think twice about it, and try to find a trainer that maybe is used to doing this and has some good results in working with clients virtually. Mm-hmm. You know, and like you were saying earlier, some of these trainers out there are really building an entire business and you know, platform from these kind of platforms. This right here for me is more of a supplemental platform, but it's very helpful. So maybe we should go in depth on some of the programs that I've been sending. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so with one of the first ones I sent you, I believe it was the 7-minute scientific workout.
Yeah, so with that, you gave me, there was the movement mapping warm-up, mm-hmm. which was very interesting, which I think we talked about previously on an episode. And then there was the 3-minute planking series, which was basically just holding 30 seconds of different planks for a total of 3 minutes.
That's
right.
Which was
also good. And then moving into a couple of rounds of the 7-minute scientific workout, which was great. And what I really enjoyed about doing all of that was that I was able to do it in my apartment. I really enjoyed that.
Well, good. And I hope all of you out there really resonated well with what Grace just said, because, you know, this is someone, once again, who could go to the gym, could get a trainer, but, you know, there's those times that she maybe doesn't want to go to the gym or doesn't have time to go to the gym. And so when I can send her something as simple as a 7-minute workout, whether it's done one round, two rounds, or three rounds, it kind of takes away that excuse, right? And you know, just to kind of dive in again, I don't want to go too deep into it, but with the movement analysis pattern, the MAP, this is a video that I do have up on my YouTube channel. Maybe we'll, over the next few weeks, maybe we'll start to post some of these workouts so you guys can kind of follow along. But that's a really good way to assess your movement abilities and capabilities at that moment in time, that day, that moment in time. I also like to use it as a warm-up. Then next, Grace just mentioned the 3-minute plank series. If most people out there understand what a plank is, obviously it's just a hold in a top of a push-up position, or maybe you're on your forearms and elbows holding a plank, your body's straight. Hearing a 3-minute plank probably sounds overwhelming, but as Grace, you know, quickly mentioned, it's trying to teach your body how to hold a plank in a series of movements over a 3-minute span. So you start off in let's say a front plank on your elbows, and then maybe you progress up to a full plank onto your hands, each being 30 seconds. Then I teach you how to do a quadrupedal plank, which looks like you're on all fours, but your knees are above the ground. That's a very challenging one. And then you would progress into a side plank, whether you're on your forearms or you're on your hands. Then you go to the other side, and then you finish with a reverse plank, whether your legs are bent or your legs are straight. And so if you guys are at home wanting to practice that now, just think about it. It's, if you can do a plank for 30 seconds, then you can do 6 times 30 seconds to give you 3 minutes. So that's the overall idea. And then the plan and the program for that is to progress someone into a 10-minute plank over a 4-week time period. So at the end of the 4 weeks, you should be able to knock out a 10-minute plank using that same methodology and that same concept, but maybe a little bit longer in one plank. Maybe it's a minute in one, maybe a minute and a half in a different one, things like that. So that's the sort of the foundational piece. And then the 7-minute scientific workout, I decided to, what I used to do with my clients is just send them a random video that was out on the interwebs, right? But then I started noticing that people, maybe they weren't following it as much. Then when I recorded it myself, because why not, I noticed that there was a lot more compliance. And I'm like, oh, okay, so that was kind of what started me on this whole process of recording it myself and having me do it, because people, I think, would rather follow along that way.
Yeah, exactly. It's much more personal.
Yeah, yeah. So that kind of covers the sort of the foundational piece and what I use for, like, I used to call it week one, but I've started now to call it phase one, because it's, you know, it may take 1 week for some and it may take 3 weeks for others to kind of get through it comfortably. So phase one is sort of that foundational piece. And then I think the next thing I sent you was, well, I didn't really need to send you a video about sprinting, because let's face it, you know how to do that. And if you don't know how to do it, I felt like I explained it well enough, where you just go all out effort in spurts with ample rest in between each spurt.
Yeah.
Right. And that can be done on a bike. That can be done on, running on a treadmill, which is a little more risky. That can be done outside, which is my favorite, like to run in a park or on a track. Super, really, really good. Really beneficial. It can also be done with jump rope and many other forms of exercise, but anything that you're able to do with all out intensity for, you know, anywhere from like 10 to 20 seconds or so, maybe even 30 seconds if you're on a bike, then that sort of constitutes a good high intensity sprint session. And I know
it,
you did.
It kicks your butt. It absolutely kicks your butt. I did it on a bike and I was not a happy camper.
And how many rounds did you do? Did you do the full 9 rounds?
I did a full 20 minutes. So.
Right. Yeah. So that's the 9 rounds. And for those of you that care to maybe, you know, go through this or understand the breakdown of this, what I sent Grace is it's a 20-minute program, which involves, and she was on a bike, so she was on the recumbent bike, which is that kind of that reclined bike, not the upright bike. I like that one a little better because it engages the glutes a lot better. And anybody who's ever done that with me, they will attest to that for sure. So what you do is you get yourself on a recumbent bike, you warm up or just kind of coast for the first 2 minutes. And that's kind of telling your brain and setting the neurological pathways to prepare your body for that activity. So you just kind of coast for 2 minutes. Then at the 2-minute mark and every other even number or even time, you're going to do a sprint for 30 seconds. And what that means is you want to set the effort level up to around 10 on your recumbent bike, and you want to go as fast as you can. And I like to tell people, like, think of someone or a huge animal that's chasing you, and you need to get out of there, and it's going to take you approximately 30 seconds to do it. You wouldn't casually just kind of go a little faster, right? If your life was in danger, you would really sprint. So that's kind of the idea. And I'm sure you probably noticed this, Grace, like the first one or two, it's like, okay, yeah, this is tough, but I got this. But then when you get to around number 5 or 6 rounds, your brain starts to play tricks on you, like, you know what, 5 or 6 is good enough. I can leave, right? I got a good sweat. I'm working hard.
Yeah. Oh, this is my first time doing it. Like, you know, I don't have to do all of it. No. You have to push through. It's painful. It's very painful.
Yes, it's painful, but in a good pain. And and to kind of wrap up that whole program, it's like you do your 30-second bursts at each even minute, and then you are allowed a 90-second, so a minute and a half, of rest and recovery. And when you do that rest and recovery, please, I have to stress, please really take the time to recover during that time period. Because if, you know, I have some clients that I used to do this with, and they would do their 30-second burst, kill it, and then they would still kind of keep going fast during the recovery. You know, yes, they would take the effort level down, but that's only one part of it. You want to let your body really recover so you can give maximum effort for the next sprint, right? The next burst. So once again, everybody out there, it's 2 minutes of coasting at the beginning, and then 30-second burst each even minute. So 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 6 minutes, all the way up to 18 minutes would be your last sprint burst. And then you would do the last recovery, which would be 90 seconds. And that will get you exactly at 20 minutes. It's a great program. I highly suggest any of you guys out there to try it.
It's very satisfying if you can push through and finish it. And actually, my housemate has started doing his own sprints as a result of me doing mine. So,
oh, is he doing on the bike as well?
No, he's doing it on a treadmill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is intense.
Well, I'm still anxiously awaiting a video from the housemate.
Just I'll as long as to film it next time.
Well, as long as he's not filming it himself, because that could be a little risky.
Yeah, I don't think we'd advocate that.
Right. Well, I guess maybe he could like set it up like I do, you know, set up the iPad. But anyway, we're looking forward to that. So that should be fun. So let's move on to maybe a few other programs that could be seen from trainers, because, you know, we've talked about the cardio aspects. We've talked about the sprinting, you know, and when I say cardio, I actually meant the sprinting side of it. And then we talked about the foundational stuff. But I also may write in a program low level cardio or steady state cardio. And that's very different, which I usually don't send a video of that because, let's face it, like I don't think anyone wants to watch me run on a treadmill or run outside for 20 or 30 minutes. But
yeah, that might get a little bit repetitive.
Right, exactly. And for those that may see this in a program that I write out for you, if you come to that part, that's simply trying to stay at 180 minus your age as far as your heart rate is concerned. And so this helps to keep you in the aerobic zone. And that number, 180 minus your age, constitutes your aerobic maximum. So that's not the beginning of that range of the heart, of the fat burning range. That's actually the top end of your aerobic capacity. And so this is a formula that was created by Dr. Phil Maffetone, and the Primal Endurance by Mark Sisson. They really advocate using that because it's well researched. There's a lot of good information out there on why that is effective. Many of you out there may know this 220 minus your age formula. That's more for your anaerobic capacity, so kind of like your maximum heart rate for top end efforts. That's a very different thing. We're talking about now this low level steady state cardio. You want to stay at or below 180 minus your age. And so obviously one of the ways to do this is to do what? Is to get a heart rate monitor, right? So, you know, it's very difficult to try to run and hold your thumb on your finger on your wrist to try to measure your heartbeat. No, just invest in a very, you know, inexpensive heart rate monitor. There's plenty out there. Polar makes some good ones. Garmin makes good ones. And, you know, we're talking 30, 40 bucks, and you don't even have to have a watch. You can attach it or link it to your phone through the Bluetooth app, and it can show you. And once you kind of get a feel for what 180 minus your age feels like, you might be surprised, but it's a lot slower than you're used to. And so most of the people that I work with, believe it or not, most of them achieve that maximum aerobic capacity with just walking on an incline on a treadmill. Walking, okay? Not running, but walking on an incline. So I challenge all of you out there, if you're curious about the most effective way to fat burn and to do cardio, then get yourself a heart rate monitor and test yourself just walking on an incline. See how close you are to that number. If you're like 10 points away from your 180 minus your age number, then maybe go into a slow jog, you know, and kind of build that up. And if you're really fit out there and you're able to go for a full out run and still stay within that number, bravo, continue. Yeah. And there you go. That's a great way to achieve fat burning.
And then I guess in terms of other programs, do you prescribe like strength training ones, like with weights? Or, I mean, I know the 7-minute one is kind of like body weight exercises, but do you have anything that's a bit more weight based?
I do, yes. Yeah. So the one I was kind of talking to you about earlier, which is, I call it the Tyson Renegade, I just combined two exercise programs. That one is called the Tyson Ladder and the other is called a Renegade Row. And I put those two together to make a very, very intense exercise program. And it doesn't take very long. All you do is you go from, you know, 1-1-1, and your reps are going up to 5 and then back down from 5 to 1. So what it would look like, since we're talking about this on the radio and the podcast, visualize yourself with 2 dumbbells. And I use 15-pound dumbbells for this exercise set. And I would start with a push-up into a Renegade Row. So basically, that's a push-up, and then you pull the one dumbbell up to your side, and then you release it back down to the ground. That's one. Then you do another push-up, and you do the other side row, and then release it. That's one on that side. And then you come to a kneeling position and you do an overhead shoulder press, and that's one. So that constitutes the 1-1-1 level. Then next you go 2-2-2. So it would be push up right hand row, push up left hand row, push up right hand row again, push up left hand row. Then you go to the kneeling position and you go into 2 overhead shoulder presses. So when I used to write this program out, of course you would do that all the way up to 5 and then all the way back down to 1. Believe me, people, this is a very challenging workout. Anybody that's ever done this with me, like, you know, when I give them a 15-pound weight, you know, and dumbbell, they're kind of like laughing at me. And I'm like, actually, I don't even start with 15 pounds. Take that back. I start with a 5-pound weight. Mm-hmm. 5-pound dumbbells. And for these macho guys out there, they're like, dude, come on, man, what are these, like water bottles? I'm like, yeah, listen, just do the workout, you know, you'll understand. And they're crushed and they can't even get to 5 without having to take a break. Yeah. Because it's exponentially, like, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and much tougher. The lactic acid starts to set in your shoulders and your chest, and it's tough. But anyway, we will maybe post a link for that, or if you guys you want to check out my YouTube channel, you'll see plenty of these workouts, and I'm just kind of throwing them out there for the world to see.
Yeah.
So that's a strength training workout. I also do resistance bands. I understand that not everyone has resistance bands, but, you know, at this day and age, you may as well just invest in some resistance bands to have at home. Get some with handles, get some without handles, get resistance band loops. And, you know, this is just investing in yourself. So I would suggest doing that, because whether you get a program from me or you get a program from someone else or you go to a class, chances are you're going to be able to utilize it. So it's a great tool to keep around. Mm-hmm. Jump ropes. Also, it's another good one. I have programs for that. So, yeah, I think soon we're going to be on to your next level of videos, huh?
Yeah, we'll be checking it out soon enough, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, now that we've kind of gone into the different types of programming that I send out, like, what other questions or myths or things do you think would represent the audience, you know?
Well, I think we could talk about maybe approaching it from a different angle. Maybe if you had any advice for trainers who are listening, who are looking to maybe develop their own programs for virtual clients, maybe do you have any bits of advice for maintaining virtual relationships? I know you kind of covered a bit at the beginning.
Yeah, that's a really good thing to talk about, because I think from the trainer's perspective, I think one of the main things to be aware of and to really be conscious of is don't always assume that every person that you send this video out to is capable of doing what you can do. And this is not the time to show off. This is not the time to, you know, show everyone what you can do. I mean, yeah, that stuff is kind of cool, posting videos on Instagram and things like that. But when you're working with a client, you want to assume sort of the standard level, the modified level, and then allow for progressions, because that just gives you more opportunities to keep this client, right? If you send them a video and they're like, dude, are you crazy? Then you may have lost that rapport there for a second, because then they start to feel discouraged, so to speak. So I would encourage all the trainers out there that are sending programs, it's okay if you send one that's too easy, because all that does is keeps the client looking for the next level, right? Like, hey man, that was really easy. Should I do that like five times through, or what? And then in the back of my brain, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, just wait till the next one comes out, right? Because yeah, I know it's going to really crush them. So this allows you to kind of have more longevity and more of a rapport with your clients. And then I also would suggest to trainers to check in with your clients, even if they don't do it. You know what I mean? Like, I know for a fact that I send these videos out to my clients and just in other friends and whatnot. They don't have to always be my clients, but I send these videos out expecting maybe 50% compliance. Maybe 50% of the people, you know, actually do it. I know there's a huge amount of people that are viewing it and just watching it, like, because a few of my friends tell me, they just sit there and they just kind of watch me while they're eating popcorn or whatever, and they're just watching me work out, and they're just kind of like, yeah, probably not going to do that today. But that's fine too, because when one day they decide, like, you know, maybe they send me a message, Josh, you know, it's been a few years and, you know, I just really need some good workouts. I'll go back to them and say, you remember those videos I sent you last year? Why don't you kind of cycle through those again, you know, because they're still on YouTube, you know? Yeah. So anyway, I think we as trainers need to sort of be a little bit more in touch with our clients, whether it's by checking in or sending videos, you know, sending out a phone call, or recording a podcast with Grace.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess, I don't know, maybe you feel like you've covered this, but what are like the main challenges that you find as a trainer when you're doing this, like these virtual programs or checking in with your clients remotely? Are there any like problems or challenges that you face?
Definitely. I think, you know, some of the challenges, and it's becoming less of an issue nowadays because technology is so advanced and Wi-Fi is better and FaceTime, you know, and Skype and all these things are so prevalent. But there are still some issues. For instance, you know, let's say you don't have a computer or you don't have a big TV screen that you can stream from your phone or whatever to your large TV. Then sometimes it's a little annoying having to set up your phone somewhere that you can see it properly. You have to be close enough because the screen is too small. So sometimes that's an issue. But I usually suggest a person watch the full video to kind of understand what you may need first. Because once again, you know, if you just get this video and you go to the gym and you don't realize that you need dumbbells, resistance bands, and jump ropes, you might just scrap the workout altogether. But if you know ahead of time that you need X, Y, and Z, then you're well prepared. And so I like to always try to mention that when I send a program. Like, look, this is what you need. And if I don't send that, chances are it's just a bodyweight exercise, bodyweight program. So that's a potential issue, but there's certainly ways around that. Another issue is timing, because, you know, this is one reason why I send very short video clips, and I always allow for in the description on my YouTube channel, I always write in the description kind of how many times I suggest you to do that. Because, for instance, like with you on the 7-minute scientific workout, if you don't have a lot of time, well, you know, everyone pretty much can find 7 minutes to do a workout. Yeah. But if you devoted an hour to your day and you want to go and do the MAP and you want to do some stretching and some rolling and things like that after your workout, then go ahead and do 3 rounds of it and then spend time doing other stuff. So once again, it's a potential issue, those that send out these long programs, because people look at that and they say, wait, 45 minutes? Oh, you know what? I'll do that next week. Versus sending it up in chops, right? So yeah. In chunks. So what I try to do on the longer workouts, like some of these longer strength workouts, what I'll do is I'll video maybe 10 reps of everything, but I might suggest 20 to 30 reps, like I did with the leg and butt series.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I will do the whole workout, but I just think it becomes a little monotonous for a person to watch me doing 30 reps of something.
Yeah, and it makes the video a lot longer.
Right, exactly. So I'm trying to be a little cheeky with that because, you know, at the same time, like I was explaining before, you don't want to send them something that makes them discouraged. If you see me in the video doing 10 reps, then I'll follow up by asking, hey, how many reps did you do? And they'll go, oh, I just followed the video. And I go, perfect, right? Because that means that's the bottom level. That's the standard level. Now, the next time you do it, see if you can progress to maybe 15 reps of everything or 20 reps. And eventually, I want you doing 30 reps and on to 50 reps possibly. And so this gives, I think, all the clients hope out there. What other issues might there be? Well, I don't know. Maybe people just don't like to use videos. I mean, you know, it's like I don't think this is for everyone, because there are some people who prefer to have just written on a notebook, you know, this is what I have to do today, this is what I did yesterday, and this is in my spreadsheet. I have some clients who are type A, very type A, and they have like Excel spreadsheets with the exercise, the video of the exercise with a link, and then how many reps they did last week and how many they're supposed to do next week. That does my head in like no other. But if that helps the client, then I'm very willing to do that. Yeah. But I would rather them just talk, we'll talk through it. I'm not gonna send out an Excel spreadsheet because it annoys me to no end. But at the same time, trying to be in tune with my clients, if that's what helps motivate them, then let's work together on it. Let's do it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a really, really handy resource, but some people are always going to want a physical trainer with them. Yeah. And I think in your case, it's so handy to have this as a resource, because your clients can still have like the reassuring kind of thing that, you know, you're not, just because you're on the road, you're not abandoning them. And you can still check in with them. And then when you get back, you can pick things up again.
That's right. Exactly. And, you know, I'd also say, like, or suggest any of you listeners out there who have worked with a trainer or have followed a program virtually, like what we've been discussing today, maybe you can send us some of your feedback. Send us some things that, you know, that you really enjoyed, or some things that you maybe you didn't enjoy. You know, so that maybe some of the other listeners can see other programs that are out there that are maybe good to follow.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty out there, like you said before at the beginning. There's lots of like transformation projects where it takes you through a meal plan and workouts. I know the band here, while we're traveling on tour, the band, like a big chunk of them, they like to do the Insanity program. And, you know, it's a very doable program. Some of them come to me and are like, dude, I screwed up my back and my neck and my shoulder. And I'm like, well, you know, maybe you should tone it down, or maybe you should allow for more recovery. Because while the Insanity program and P90Xs of the world, like, while they're good, there's also, it's for the masses. So it's hard for them to embed exactly what you need. Right, so you might need more recovery than what's suggested on the program, but if you're just following the program because it says today you have to work out, maybe you didn't get enough sleep, doesn't mean that you should be going and hitting a really tough workout. So this is what I would say, to just kind of caution yourself, but do let us know what's good out there and what's maybe not so good.
Yeah, and I think also it would be great to just hear your experiences with virtual training in general. If you've ever had virtual training before and you hated it or you loved it, let us know. Like, share your story, because we'd love to hear it.
Yes, and also I'll throw this out there too. If any of you feel so compelled to to really dive into what I'm talking about and what Grace and I are having a conversation about, let us know and I'll send you some programs. Why not? Right? Because I want this to make sense, and I want you to see the kind of level of care that we give to this and the level of attention I give to these virtual programs, and just to show you how effective it can be. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's not going to be for everyone. And, you know, fortunately, you know, we don't have like thousands of followers right now, but I am able to just copy and paste for you. So, you know, I'll offer this for maybe the first, I don't know, maybe we'll cap it out at the first 20 people. The first 20 people that comment and really want to take it seriously and go into a virtual program for a bit of time, send us an email, write us on social media, and we'll come up with a program for you, specifically for you to follow, and then maybe we'll just suggest that you post your results, and yeah, we'll go from there.
That's a pretty unbeatable offer, I think.
Yeah, and notice we didn't say any money, all right? Only thing I'm looking for is your feedback and maybe, a post of your results so that we can encourage others to do what you've done. So if you want to jump on that, then send us an email. What is the email again?
It's hello@simplywalkthetalk.
hello@simplywalkthetalk.com. Or you can private message us in the Instagrams @simplywalkthetalk. You can private message us there, or you can go into our Facebook @simplywalkthetalk.
Yep. We're all over the internet.
We're all over.
We're huge.
Yeah, man. We are growing. and that is funny, but there is some truth to it. Like, we actually are getting quite a good response. I mean, I didn't tell you this, but Andrew Soar, we had a quick chat over the the last couple of days, and he was just really thrilled about our podcast and how well we're doing. So,
Shout out to Andrew.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew, and I hope you're listening to this right now, and I hope that this is putting a little smile on your face, or like a quirky little side smile.
That's brilliant. Well, I think we've kind of wrapped it all up for this week.
That's right.
As Josh said, let us know. Just shout out to us, because we'd love to hear from you.
We really would. Yes.
Yeah. And on that note, thanks for another wonderful episode. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Simply Walk the Talk.
If you have any questions or comments, shout out to us on social media or email us at hello@simplywalkthetalk.com.
And if you like this episode and it was helpful in any way, feel free to share.
Thanks.